Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, as it has been for a while, flying solo this week, hoping that Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church will be back in studio with me really soon. So my boss here at Odyssey, new here to the company, but man, we get along really well. And David Sherman said, hey, I may have a guy for that Faith in the Zone show you do. I said, yeah, tell me about him. Tell me a little bit about a guy who grew up with, Tim Unruh, a former Major League Baseball player. In fact, played for the Milwaukee Brewers, and he has a son who's now playing with the Atlanta Braves. And he said, look, he's in Arizona, but I still, you know, I get in contact with him once in a while. Do you want me to reach out to him? I said, 100%. Because the toughest part about Faith in the Zone, look, I thank Brookside Baptist Church, and I thank Bayview Shade and Blind and Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin, for sponsoring the show. That part I seem to be okay with, but finding guests sometimes gets to be difficult. And then, you know what, I pray about it, and the Lord sends people my way. And our guest for the entire hour, we've had a couple of conversations, and I'll tell you what, taping the show today for this week is difficult. As I was coming in studio to record, I found out a client of mine, and I really like her a lot. Her company had a float in the Waukesha Christmas Parade, and they lost a team member. And it just very sad for that company and the family and the entire group that I know from this, again, a really good client of mine. And then I give Tim a call, and normally first segment we talk a little smack, and I would tell him if he got in the batter's box at three pitches, I could throw three right by him. And we'd laugh about it, but I told him what was going on, and he said, look, I'm struggling today too because a teammate of mine, in fact, a former Milwaukee Brewer, has passed of COVID, reliever Doug Jones. So I don't know, Tim Unruh, we're going to be talking a lot of smack today, but brother, I thank you for your willingness to come on today, and I gave you the opportunity to, hey, do you want to do this later in the week? He said, no, let's get it going. Our special guest the entire hour, Tim Unruh. Tim, how are you today?
I'm great, Mike, and I appreciate the invite for this. You know, I got to tell you, I'm inspired by your story with the show and how people didn't think it would last 6 months. And when you hear the Holy Spirit tell you to do something and you follow it, it's just amazing to watch what happens. And kudos to you for listening and putting this together.
I thank you for that, because I can tell you there's been a number of times through this stretch. And my wife will, if she's driving to church, she's nodding her head, that I said, I can't do, I'm not doing this. I can't do this anymore. You know, it's too difficult. People in the building, the equipment. Tim, I got to tell you, I can record. I do a home improvement show, and if you knew me, you'd know how funny that is. I do a youth sports show. I do a high school sports show. I do Faith in the Zone. If I come in and I record a lot of promos and commercials, I come into the studio and I do anything other than Faith in the Zone, this equipment works, boom, boom, no problem. And the second I start trying to do Faith in the Zone, something happens. This doesn't work. It's just like, and I used to think it was a coincidence, but I'm not sure about that anymore.
Oh, someone's trying to stop you.
Yes. I'm not kidding. Pastor used to tell me.
That means you're doing something right.
Pastor used to tell me that, and I'd shake my head at him. And you know, if he was here, I don't know if I'd tell him he was right, because I don't want him holding that over my head. But, man, I think maybe he is right. Hey, Tim, let's talk. You're a Midwest guy. You know, just down the other side of the border. We're not going to hold that against you, by the way. Can we talk a little bit about where you grew up and kind of your journey as far as getting to the major leagues?
Yeah, it's a crazy story, and this is the first time I'll probably tell it in public. I think the only people that know about this story are close friends and my family. It was pretty unbelievable. It's a God journey. It's me following God and the Holy Spirit and just letting Him lead. So here's how it all started. Came from a very poor family in Illinois. Dad left when he was five. Moved to California and probably saw him once a week for, I don't know, 10 years. You know, he'd come in and visit once a week and then he'd leave, and I'd beg him to stay as a kid, and, you know, he'd always leave, you know, and I always thought, if I was just a good enough kid or whatever, my dad would come back and, you know, we could be a family. But whenever he came back for that week, he would take me to the elementary school where we had a little square on a brick wall, and we would call it fast pitch, and he would just pitch to me, and if it hit the square and I didn't swing, it was a strike, and I would try to take him deep.
That's it.
And we would always have a great week. You know, it was a special time, something that I loved because I was spending time with my dad, and it wasn't a lot of time, but it was special. And so anyway, when he left, I had a brother, 3 years older, who was pretty angry about everything. And, I grew up in a pretty rough time because my brother would take his anger out on me.
Sure.
You know, so I took a lot of beatings as a kid. So, you know, and I thought, you know, if I could just be a better brother, he'd be happy or whatever. But it just kept happening and happening and happening. So I get into high school and freshman year. And before freshman year, I would spend a lot of time at friends' houses because I just wanted to be as far away from my brother as possible because, you know, taking the beatings just gets old. And so I figured if I wasn't home, he couldn't get me. So freshman year, I go into high school, and he's a senior. And I'm walking through the hallway, and him and four other of his senior friends just grab me and just start beating me in the hallway. My books are all over the place. I'm in the fetal position, and they're just punching and kicking. You know, fun for them, but not so much for me. And a teacher comes up, and funny enough, it was the basketball coach. And he breaks it up and pulls me off to the side. And I was thinking, oh, thank God. Thank God that's over. You know, he saved me. And he goes, why are you fighting in school? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm a 13-year-old kid with 18-year-old guys, and there's five of them. They're beating me up. And I kind of gave him a smirk, like, are you serious? I'm fighting? I'm getting beat up. And he goes, don't you smile at me. I'll punch you right in the mouth.
Oh.
And I just thought, yeah. And I just thought, man, there is no escaping. You know, there's nobody I can turn to for help. I can't turn to a teacher. My mom is a single mom working three jobs trying to put food on the table. She's never home. So that was the day I decided I'm not going back to school. I'm not taking another one of those beatings. So the rest of my freshman year, and this was like the first week.
Wow.
So the rest of the freshman year, I didn't even go to school. I would walk to the bus stop, and I would everybody sitting in the bus stop, and I would go in this big old bush that was in a field, and it was hollowed out. Some kids made it kind of like a fort, and I would sit there until the bus left, and then I would walk home. So after that year, my brother goes off to college. I go back to what I think is my sophomore year, and my guidance counselor says, "Hey, you know you're still a freshman, right?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, you didn't pass any class the whole year." And he's like, you're on the five-year program. So I don't know. I freaked out, and I was like, you know, I don't want to do that. I'll do whatever it takes to get caught up. So it was summer school. It was, you know, we didn't have online classes. So it was just constant, you know, no free time. It was just sure. Trying to get caught up. And no sports. I played Little League baseball, but that was it. So no sports through high school. And then my senior year, I finally got caught up with my class. I was ready to graduate on time. And my buddy, his name is Brian Messer, we used to play sports just like in his backyard and stuff. And I call him the greatest athlete that never played a sport because the guy wouldn't go out for a sport. But he challenged me. He's like, "Hey, let's go out for the baseball team." And I was like, you know what, I don't think so. I mean, I haven't played in 3 years in high school. They got their team. They got their guys. You know, I'm not real interested. And he just kept on pushing and pushing. So he's like, "All right, if you go out for the team, I'll go out for the team." I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it together." So I made the team. He didn't. And I found, I don't know, a place of acceptance there. You know, I found out I was a pretty good hitter and had a good year my senior year and had nothing going on. I didn't have any college aspirations. I didn't know what I was doing. It was just kind of one day at a time. And then I had a junior college coach saw me play, and he's like, "Hey, you want to keep playing? You can come to school here." And I was like, "Yeah, I got nothing else going on." So junior college, had a couple good seasons there, and then a university, Lewis University out of Romeoville, Illinois.
Yep.
Called me up, and they said, "Yeah, if you want to keep playing, you got a scholarship here."
Wow.
So I went over there, and I just, you know, I was playing, and I was not a good student. I had dyslexia before dyslexia was cool. And so I had a real hard time comprehending, you know, reading. And when I read something, I just couldn't understand or retain it. So I had a real hard time in school. My last year in college, my senior year, my coach, Irish O'Reilly, he called me in his office and he says, "Hey, are you here to play baseball? Or are you here to get an education?" And I just sat there and paused for a second. And I was like, "Coach, I respect you too much to lie to you. I'm here to play baseball." I'm like, I'd like to just keep playing baseball. You know, I'd like to go on to pro ball if I can. And he goes, "Well, all of your teammates here are here to get an education. So if you want to go on to play baseball, you got to work twice as hard as everybody." And I thanked him. I said, "I mean, thanks for being honest. Push me as hard as you can. See what I got."
Yeah.
That's, you know, and probably the worst thing, but the best thing I could have said, because he pushed me to the point of tears in practice, where I'm running and everyone stops and I got to run twice as much as everybody. And I'm running in the dark, you know, ready to break down crying because my body's about to collapse. But I just kept pushing and kept pushing. And I told myself, just keep going. See what happens. See what, one day at a time, see what happens. And then, after my senior year in college, the Brewers called me, and I was drafted in the 28th round. And I was hoping it was the Cubs because I was a Cubs fan growing up, but it was the Brewers. I was right in between, so it worked out well. And, that was the start. And I had a $2,000 credit card bill, and I got a signing bonus for $2,500.
Perfect.
So I paid off the credit card. Yeah. I went into pro ball with $500, and I'm out in Montana trying to find housing and vehicles and whatever. But $500 was more than I've ever had in my entire life, so I actually felt pretty wealthy.
Wow. Man, I'll tell you what. You know what? And Tim, now, so, you know, I do this youth sports show and this high school show, and I constantly say, look, there are things that happen by playing athletics, some good, some bad, but all of a sudden you found a home. I'm wondering, And we're going to get to a break here in a minute, but boy, your older brother keeps sticking in my head. Has that relationship been fixed?
Yeah. The first time my brother ever saw me play baseball was when I was with the Angels. He was living in Las Vegas, and he came out and watched me play in the big leagues. And then when I retired from baseball, he was in the house flipping business, and he was a realtor out in Las Vegas, and that's when we kind of got back together, and we worked together, and we're adults now, and a little more respect, and we were best friends from there on out. But unfortunately, he took his own life two years ago. So,
oh, man,
that's gone. But he was my best friend post baseball.
What was his first name?
Too? And Mike.
Mike. Well, I tell you, Mike was dealing with some demons, huh?
Yeah, no question.
Boy, oh boy. I'll tell you what a story. And you know, I see that you played a little basketball in your day. Can you still hit a jump shot?
You know, my left knee is trash, but I can a set shot, no problem.
Yeah,
free throw,
easy. You ever get up to Wisconsin, you want to play horse, I'll tell you what, I saw David Sherman shoot once. Okay, he's got no shot. You know what? I coached for 36 years, and I said, "Look, I don't know if I could even fix that shot." He said, "No, I had work shoes on." I said, "I don't care about your shoes, pal. You know what? I would need a whole lot of time to fix that jump shot of yours. But you ever get up to Wisconsin, you and I and David will go out to a park and play some horse. You know he'll be on the sidelines quick. You know that, right?"
Yeah, I'm going to make that happen, by the way.
Man,
I come back there about three or four times a year. I'm coming to see you.
Oh, come on. Come on. I got a ball in the car. I got tennis shoes in the car. I'm an old grandfather. But I'll tell you what, coaching, I can still shoot the ball. I can't defend, can't do any of that. But you know what? Give me 5 minutes to warm up, and I can still hit some jump shots. Our special guest, what a story that was in the first segment. Yeah, I mean, think about this. He didn't play baseball from Little League until his senior year in high school, and he ended up in the major leagues. And he ended up being drafted by our Milwaukee Brewers. He also played – wait, did you play in China, or where else did you play? And what is the MPB?
Japan.
Japan, I'm sorry. I should have looked that up, but I was rushing to get in. And we'll talk about that. And at the end of this think about this. At the end of this show, we're going to ask him the same question I ask all our guests. All the uniforms he's ever put on, from that Little League team that he played on to when he played in Japan and everything in between, from basketball, baseball, if he played any other sports, what uniform would he put on to play one more game, and who would he play against? We'll ask him that at the end of the show. Our special guest is Tim Unruh, former Major League Baseball player and Milwaukee Brewer, now living in Arizona. We're also going to talk about his son, Riley, who's doing great things. I'll tell you what, and he's on fire for the Lord. And I'm hoping to have him on as a guest one day as well. But he's with the Atlanta Braves organization, and we'll talk a little bit about him. We get back from this break. We're going to ask Tim to share his testimony. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone. Discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Our special guest, Tim Unruh. He is a former Major League Baseball player, was drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll talk a little bit later. Man, he hit a grand slam as a Brewer. And he hit it. And by the way, who'd you hit that against?
Norm Charlton.
Norm Charlton. I'll tell you what. I've seen some video on Norm Charlton. You remember that video where he took the catcher out?
Oh, yeah.
Man, That was one tough dude. I bet he was not happy with you.
No, he wasn't. But sometimes you just get what you get, you know. And it was my day that day. So
did he hang one, or was it a fastball, or what?
It was a 2-0 fastball up and in. So I was sitting on it.
Oh man, that had to feel good, huh?
Yeah. No, it at the time, just before the game, they told me that they were sending me down to the minor leagues again. So that was a bit of an angry swing. And so I didn't get to fully enjoy it, but you know, looking back on it now, it was an incredible moment. And the really cool part was actually the second day. The next day, I was still at the stadium, and Ken Griffey Jr. Brought me over, and he's like, "Hey, man, congratulations on that swing. You killed us last night." And the whole time I'm thinking, I hope somebody's got this on camera right now, that Ken Griffey Jr. is congratulating me on my first home run grand slam. And I'm like, that was unreal. That was a special moment in my career.
Man, that's awesome. And we'll talk a little bit in the third segment about, you know, some of your teammates with Brewers and some of the guys. I know that Bill Wegman, who a former Faith in the Zone guest, was a teammate. We'll get to that in segment three. And I definitely want to talk about Riley, your son, and know how proud of him you are. But second segment on Faith in the Zone, Tim, we always ask people to share their testimony because it never gets old. And everybody has one, and it's a little different. And if you would be so kind to share your testimony with us.
Yeah. Well, as I said, you know, a pretty rough upbringing. So when my junior year is when I met my wife, and we had a study hall together, and I'd never seen her before. She didn't go to our school previously, and she was homeschooled because her mom wanted to keep her away from people like me. So she was, you know, very strong Christian family. And when I saw her, I just, you know, you could see there's something special, there's something different. And even today, when people meet my wife, they say that, like, I've never met anybody like that. Or, you know, she's the most incredible person we've ever met. She's so sweet. But my wife's secret is every time that she meets somebody and she's shaking their hand or whatever, she's literally praying for them while they're making contact. And people notice that, and it's amazing. But that's the type of person she is. So I saw her junior year, and I was kind of a bully to this kid in study hall, and I would write notes, and I would tell that kid, "Hey, go deliver this girl." And he's like, "No." I said, "You know, if you don't deliver this girl, I'm beating you up." And he's like, so he was the messenger, right? And so reluctantly, he's going back and forth, and she's reading these notes and writing notes back. And finally, one day, she says, "I'm too busy for this." So she stands up, gets her books, and comes over and sits at the table with me. And I couldn't breathe. I mean, I'm very insecure. I have no idea what to say. And so, you know, we kind of befriend each other. And she told me, she's like, "Look, I don't want a boyfriend. You know, I've got stuff that I want to do, and it's just not the right time." So I just became a friend, and we would just talk and hang out, and we would spend hours on the telephone and whatever, and just, you know, just a really good friendship. And sometimes I would go over to her house, and her parents were like, "Hey, we want to watch TV with us." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. You know, what are we going to watch? The Love Boat or Fantasy Island or something like that?" You know, traditional shows back in the day. And we would watch ministers. They would pop in a VHS tape, and we would sit there for 3 hours listening to preachers. And the first time that happened, I'm sitting with her whole family. She's got a family of eight, five brothers and sisters, and then the parents. So, and then they also had foster kids. So there was a lot of people there. And we're watching this preacher, and I'm thinking, am I being punked right now? I've never watched a preacher in my life, you know. We went to Easter service once, you know, once a year, and that was it. And turns out that they do that still today. But, you know, it was just something different. Her family was loving. They didn't make fun of each other. There was definitely no hitting. It was all encouragement all the time. They'd pray for each other. They'd pray for other people. They would stop, you know, in the middle of the road and help people out and pray for them or just give people money out of the blue. And they weren't wealthy by any means. And they just lived a servant's life. And I watched it. And I was like, you know, it's something special going on here. And I don't ever want to lose it. And so I just hung on to their family and hers as tight as I could. And I think after we graduated high school, my wife went on a mission to Tonga and New Zealand. And so she was on mercy ships. And so I'm in college and she's out on a ship, and we would talk like once a week at 3 o'clock in the morning, and just kept that relationship going. And then when I got drafted, I was in Montana and she came back from her mission field. And she came out, her and her family took a trip out to Montana to see me play for a week. And the week that she was there, I hit 7 home runs. And then the manager told her he would pay for her to stay the rest of the year if she would, you know, agree to stay there because I was doing so well. But, yeah, and then I would go to church with them in the off season. And there was a preacher, I think he's passed now, Sam Farina. He was doing a tent service out in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he just opened up the floor. Anybody that wants to give their life to the Lord, now is the time. You know, you just have to say this simple prayer. And, you know, in my heart, I wanted to, but I'm nervous. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to look stupid. I could feel my heart fluttering. I'm sweating. And my wife's mom, my mother-in-law, turns to me and she goes, "Timmy, is now the time?" And I was like, "It is." And so, you know, we said the prayer, and from there on out, I was, you know, I knew that I finally had a father, I guess. You know, I had somebody in my corner I could have a relationship with. I could, you know, go through a hard time, and I could just talk to him like he's my dad, you know. And I would go back and forth for a long time with, you know, being really strong with my faith. And then other times, you know, when life got too tough, I abandoned it for a while. But I would always come back. And, you know, it took me a while to really, I don't know, hold on to that faith. And it wasn't until my wife did something. I grew up really poor. So everybody in Major League Baseball that I knew, they considered me cheap because I wouldn't go out to steak houses and I wouldn't go out and buy custom suits. I would, you know, eat at Applebee's and I would get my suits from the mall.
Yeah.
But the reason I did that is because I knew that I wanted to give my wife a good life and I wanted my kids to grow up in a nice atmosphere and a good home. And so my goal was I'm going to make as much money as I can to pay for a house so that, you know, after baseball, if things don't go well, I can, you know, get a job at a fast food restaurant and still keep this house. You know, the whole goal was to pay for the house. And so I was really tight with my money. And even after I started making money, I still had some type of thing of where I was afraid to be poor again. And so I wouldn't let it go. You know, we didn't take vacations. We, you know, very frugal with everything. And then my wife sat me down one day and she's like, "I want to challenge you." I'm like, "Okay." And she goes, "I want you to try to outgive God." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "The Holy Spirit, I know," she goes, "I know the Holy Spirit talks to you. And when you get into situations where people need help, you want to, but then you back away." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I go, "It's because of the fear of being poor." And she's like, "Well, you can't use that excuse anymore." She's like, "I want you to try to outgive them." She goes, "Watch what happens. If somebody needs help and the Holy Spirit's got convicting you to help, I want you to listen." And so I thought it was crazy at the time. And then I came, like the very next day, I came across somebody who needed help. And the Holy Spirit was right there. And he's like, "Here it is, Tim. You know, now's the time." And I was like, "All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to try to outgive God." So I gave this person whatever they needed, you know, and it's happened a lot since then where somebody will need help, whether it's money or time or whatever it is, vehicle. And it's amazing that every time I listen, it comes back to me almost immediately.
It's amazing.
And like twofold. And it gives me chills to talk about it because, you know, that's one of the things that I really had a hard time with. And God's like, you know, try to outgive me. You can't do it. There's not enough money on this planet that you could give away that I can't give right back to you whenever I want.
I get goosebumps with that, Tim. I do because yeah. I you know, Tim, my wife and I we had a discussion once about tithing, right? We're going to tithe. And we were struggling, and I wanted my oldest daughter to go to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And my wife said, look, we can't afford that. And I said, but I'm really, really, I have this calmness and this comfort level. And I tried to do it all on my own that first year. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Well, that was a huge mistake. And, you know, I was saying to her, look, if we stop this 10%, we're going to have more than enough money. She said, that's not coming. That absolutely not. And she was right. And she was right for sure. And man, Simone, is that your wife's first name?
Yeah, Simone.
Yeah, look, people get tired of me using this phrase about you out kicking your coverage. Come on, brother. I've had a lot of fun talking to you, and I feel like we could become friends. But you belong in that category with me. You know that, right? You out kicked your coverage by a mile.
There's no question.
Come on,
no
man.
Question. And every day I wake up, I look at her, and I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, hey, I know she's too good for
I'm
me.
On her Facebook page. This Chicago Cubs uniform you had on, I'm just telling you, bro, that mustache got to go. But, man, oh, man, yeah. I can see why you tried to sit by her at lunchtime.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, see,
I love that.
You know what the story about that mustache I'm a little bit upset about?
What?
Not one of my teammates was a good enough friend to say, hey, dude, you got to shave that thing.
Hey, hold
they
on.
They all just let me have it. They laughed about it. And
hey, I have
they called
one.
It the power stash.
I got one better, and then we have to get to a break. When my wife Terry and I were, I don't know if we're just we're dating for a while or just married. I can't even remember. But I shaved mine, and she was like, never again, man. You're never shaving that thing again. So I had a mustache forever, and I went once I retired from coaching basketball. I kind of went on this health kick, and I've dropped a lot of weight. And I said to her, "Hey, if I get to down 50, can I shave this mustache?" She said, "No." I said, "I get to 100." She was okay. Yeah, sure, go ahead. Well, I did, and we were going up north. We're going up north to spend a week with my kids and grandkids, and she's like, "Come on, we got to go." I said, "All right, I'm gonna pop in the shower, shave, we'll get going." And I thought, well, now's the time, right? Boom, 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 zip it off. And I'm looking at her when I get out of the shower, right? I'm packing. She goes, what? I go, nothing. She goes, let's go. We got to go. I'm driving 2.5 hours, Tim. I keep looking at her. I keep like wiggling my nose and stuff. She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, nothing. I go, okay. We go into this cabin, my kids, grandkids, nobody says a word. That night, I go down to the lake to take a swim after dinner, and Terry goes, hey, I don't want to go swimming, but I'll come down to the beach with you. I said, great. Well, I come out, and I'm my hair is all wet, so I'm drying my hair, and she goes, oh, your hair's out of place. I go, that you notice? She goes, excuse me? And I point at my, she goes, oh, my good. Well, she laughed for a half hour. We go back to the cabin. She goes, hey, does your dad look any different? I'm like, no, my grandson Keegan goes, hey, Papa, you shaved your mustache. Well, I'm telling you, for 20 minutes, these people laughed. And I'm like, you never even noticed. And she's like, I cannot believe it. So, hey, we got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Riley and your kids. I want to talk a little bit about Simone because I'll tell you what, brother, you know what? Thank God. Thank God for really faith women that we have in our life,
absolutely,
man. I don't know where you'd be. I know where I'd be. It wouldn't be here.
No way. I don't want to think about it.
I don't even want to think about it either. Not even a little bit. And if it wasn't, she prayed for me for years. And I thank her for that. He is Tim Unruh. He former Major League Baseball player, including Milwaukee Brewer. He got drafted by our Milwaukee Brewers. And I'll tell you what an unbelievable story. We're going to talk about his family on the other side of the break, because I want to talk a little bit about Riley and see if we can get him to be a guest on Faith in the Zone one day as well. Again, this is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses has stage fright. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Tell you what, man, our special guest, Tim Unruh, what a good guest, and what an unbelievable story. I may try to get some money to do a movie. I may, maybe the Tim Unruh story, I'm just telling you. It's pretty cool, because when I'm doing some research and I see his wife Simone was, you know, back in, you guys were in Kenosha at Journey Church, and you said, hey, that's where we got married. And it's really awesome that every once in a while you get back into this area, because her family is still here. And let's talk a little bit about your family, Riley and Carson and Lauren. Riley is playing with the Atlanta Braves organization. You said Carson was a really good left-handed pitcher, decided he didn't like baseball. He's kind of a techie and the smartest person in our family for sure. And then you said, I don't know if any of us are as tough as my daughter. You said she's just tough, man. What year is she in school?
She actually graduated after the 2020 year.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's out working now, but she's got a great story too. She didn't start playing softball till her freshman year, and I made her because she was so mean and ornery.
Yep.
I'm like, girl, you got something in you. I see something in you, and so I signed her up, and she was mad at me, and I said, well, you got to go to practice. And after her first practice, she's like, I hate it. I hate all the girls. I hate the coaches. I'm not going back. I'm like, well, you got practice tomorrow. I'm like, you got to play one season. If you don't like it, I won't bother you again. 2 years later, as a junior, she led the state of Arizona in softball in every offensive category. Absolute monster.
Really? What position did she play in the field?
She was a left fielder.
Man, if you started her early, she could have been a catcher. You know those catchers have that kind of attitude, that toughness.
Oh.
Yeah.
When she was a freshman, we were kind of like snapping towels at each other. You know, just having fun in the kitchen, trying to snap each other. And I got her good, and she got mad and came over and grabbed me by the shirt and lifted me up and put me on the counter. I'm 6'3", 225. She's a freshman in high school, and she lifted me off the ground. That's when I was like, girl, you got to play some sports.
You got to play some sports, there's no doubt, for sure. Hey, I caught Riley on Twitter a little bit, and you know, I'll tell you what, he is not bashful, and he's not ashamed, and he's not running from his beliefs and who he is, I'll tell you that.
No, he's very strong in his faith, and I could not be more proud of him. He's on fire for his relationship with God, and he has a baby coming next month, and a wife, and they're just moving into their first home here in a couple of weeks, and he has his head on straight. If I compare him to me, a lot earlier. So, very, very good person. He always has been his whole life, and I don't know if there's a person out there that could say a bad word about him. He's just a good human being.
Man, you know, you can follow him on Twitter at Riley_Unroe, UNROE, professional athlete for the Brave for hashtag Braves Baseball. Follow of our Lord and Savior, follower of our Lord and Savior. And then to just start looking at some of the stuff that he posts and some of the things that he's doing. And you know, when you look at the boy, I tell you what, this kid's an athlete. Man, he is built. He's a strong, fast kid. And does he got a chance, do you think, to get to play in the major leagues?
Yeah, I believe so. He's had a tough go. He's always tried to be a switch hitter. And he struggled from the right side. His swing from the left side is a major league swing. There's no question. Right side, I keep telling him, I'm like, it's a double-A swing. It doesn't play in the big leagues. So this offseason, I think we're possibly going to switch to just going full-time lefty. And we're gonna start getting him in a cage, just going left-handed curveballs at him so he can get used to it. And I really think that's going to elevate his numbers and get him to where he wants to be. So we'll see. You just never know.
Hey, how did what was it like for you to watch him play like in high school? Was he a multi-sport athlete?
He was his freshman year. He played football and then a little basketball in junior high, but he just loved baseball. And he played for Team USA at like 15 years old, won a gold medal. And he's just been on fire. He wants to be like his dad is what it is. And, you know, growing up in locker rooms and stuff and seeing me, you know, playing baseball all the time, he grew up wanting to do what his dad did. So it's always been a passion for him to play baseball. And we've had, we've had a lot of memories and great stories and together. So it's been a huge blessing.
Hey, and look, when we talked about Carson in the off, when we were during the break, you said, look, he could play, man. He was a really good lefty pitcher, but he just is, you know what, he didn't fall in love with the sport. But when you see, I laughed, and you said, look, no doubt he's the smartest one in this family. And look, we're all, I have to say nice things about him, because who knows, you and I might be working for him one day.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, he's on a different level. Like when he talks, it is, and he educates himself all day long. He just finds out stuff he wants to learn, and he gets online and learns it, and then he tells us about it. And we all sit there and look at each other like we have no idea what he's talking about, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, hey, just keep talking. You know what? My daughter and I, we used to study hard to get a good grade on the test, and poof, it just is gone. My son and my wife, they would study things to keep them. And it's like, man, I know Rod Carew hit 311 his last year with the Minnesota Twins. I know ridiculous stuff like that. But, you know, This other stuff that I really should have learned. Hey, before we get to a break, how did you like playing baseball in Japan?
You know, it was great because they treated me and my family very well. They took care of us like we were royalty. On the flip side, on the field was very difficult because they wanted me to hit a home run every time I swung the bat. And, you know, that's not the type of player I am. I go the other way and hit the gaps and a lot of RBIs. And I'll put some home runs out, but, you know, I'm not going to be that 30, 40 a year guy. And so trying to hit home runs, dropping the backside, trying to lift the ball, kind of the same swing that everyone's doing today, launch angle, didn't work for me.
Hey,
so it was a long season.
Hey, when you go and watch Riley play, even today, are you able to sit and relax and watch him play, or do you get that in your gut kind of thing that the way I did when my son played basketball in college?
I'm telling you, I am more nervous, and my hands are sweating, my armpits are sweating. I'm living and dying with every pitch when he's at the dish, and I'm trying to stay calm, but. You know, I played in front of 50,000 people and it didn't faze me one bit. But I watched my son play in the minor leagues and I can't breathe.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
I coached Matthew in high school basketball. And when I had to not have any, you know, I couldn't pull him out and sit him down and say, are you going to hit a shot today or what? Sit down. Sit down. You're playing like garbage today. Now I got to sit and be a parent and just watch. I loved it. But it was really hard. Like I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel like, all right, here we go. Now he's playing Division III college basketball at Maranatha Baptist Bible College. There were games there'd be 40 people at. But boy, oh boy, I just every game, man, I just would get nervous and I just wanted him to play well because I knew what he had and I knew. And by the time he was a senior, man, he was really good. And he was good all the way through. I have to give him the ball as a freshman, said you're a point guard. But once the game slowed down and kid, you know, now he's playing grown men, man, it was really fun. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to ask you, if I take every uniform you've ever put on, doesn't matter what sport, every uniform, put it in the closet, and you get to pick out one uniform and play one more game, what uniform do you take and who do you play against? We will ask Tim Unruh that. Again, former Major League Baseball player, played for the Milwaukee Brewers and the California Angels, played in Japan. But more important, he is really strong in his faith. He's on fire for the Lord. And I'll tell you this, the best thing, man, other than being on fire for the Lord, when he says, look, this is my wife, that's the best thing that he's got going for him, because this whole thing growing up in Illinois, that's not it for sure. This is Faith Amen. In the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. Man, what a great show. This has been a really, really fun show for me. He's our special guest, Tim Unruh, former Major League Baseball player, Milwaukee Brewers, Angels. He played in Japan. And I can tell you this, the next time that him and Simone come back to Wisconsin and to Kenosha, I'm going to go down there, and my wife Terry and I will join them at Journey Church, and I'll buy lunch when that thing when the church lets out. And I look forward to meeting you in person, Tim. Hey, this question of all the uniforms you've ever put on, if I put them in the closet, what uniform do you pull out, get one more game, and why and who do you play against?
Well, there is one at bat that haunts me, and that it was with the Brewers. I would go back and put the Brewer jersey on, and I would play against the Cleveland Indians with Oral Hershiser pitching.
Okay.
Now, before the game, Oral Hershiser gave all of the we called it the God Squad, because all the Christian guys on the team gave us Bibles, devotional Bibles for dads and men. So I thought, wow, how cool is that of Oral to pay for these books and send them over to us before the game. And then, you know, I get in at bat against them, and I'm looking out and I am in awe. You know, I'm like, man, I'm about to face Oral Hershiser, you know, the Bulldog. And I gave him way too much. I was done before I even got in the batter's box. You know, I let him win mentally before I even started. He struck me out on three pitches, and I went back to the dugout, and I was so mad at myself. And I'm like, I cannot believe I just gave him that at bat. And it haunted me every day for the rest of my career. I mean, even now, when you ask that question, I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back and do that again.
Just one more time.
I'd really love to see what I got against one of the greats.
Hey, what years did you – like, who are your teammates? When did you play with the Brewers?
Mid-90s, so 95, 6, and 7. So, you know, Dave Nielsen, John Jaha, Fernando Vina, Jeff Cirillo.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Seitzer. So, yeah, 95, I got I got 1 week up in the major league. So, you know, that team I really didn't, bond with. But 96 and 97, I got a little bit more time.
Hey, did you, go through the minors with some of those guys as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I got drafted in 92, and then, as a 28th-round draft pick, I wasn't supposed to get to the big leagues.
Nope.
And, so my goal every time I went on a field was I figured out who the first-rounder was that I was either playing with or against, and I would just try to have a better day than that guy, because I figure if I can beat the man, I become the man. So that was my goal every day, was – you know, who's the top prospect here? I'm going to go out and I'll play that dude today.
man. That's awesome.
You know, hey,
the best last question, and then we've got to get going. But the best pitcher that you believe you either played with or played against, who would that be?
Oh, Randy Johnson, no question.
Oh man,
I tell everybody I helped him get to the Hall of Fame because he struck me out every time I faced him.
I have no idea how you hit that guy.
You don't. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep. I just don't. I used to watch him
standing on a mound, going straight downhill. Impossible.
And gets a little wild once in a while.
Yeah.
There's no way you can dig in.
It's unlike anybody else. You know, you look at this dude, and you know, normally you get in the batter's box and you're looking straight out at the pitcher. With Randy, you get in there and you look up to the pitcher, so it's just a different angle. You know, it's a different game.
Hey, you know, I got a chance to throw out the first pitch at a Lakeshore Chinooks game years ago, and they said got there and the manager for the other team said, I played catch with him warming up, and I was throwing like knuckleballs and all that. He goes, hey, man, if I had a uniform your size, I'd let you throw an inning. Started laughing. He said, you going to throw from the side, or are you going to get up in the mound, and you're going to man up? I go, I didn't even think about it. I don't know. He said, man up, get up in the mound. I said, yeah, okay. And I go on the other side, and the guy that's going to catch for me, a young guy, he said, hey, I've been on your high school sports show. You want to throw to me? I go, yeah. He goes, you're going to throw from the side? You're going to man up and get on the mound? I go, why does everybody keep asking me that? He goes, you'll see. Go ahead. I got up on the mound. I couldn't believe how high that was. Like,
yeah.
I was really, and I look in the crowd. My wife's got her hands over her eyes, and I thought, man, just threw. And I threw a straight pitch. I mean, I threw it. I did the old Lamar Hoyt kind of warm up, and I just threw it down and threw one, and it was good. But man, I couldn't believe how high it was. It was interesting. Hey, Tim, thank you so much. And I would ask that when you talk to Riley, if he gets a chance to listen to this, if there's any chance that I could get him as a guest, and if not, I certainly understand, but if he'd have interest in that, I love talking to young people that are on fire for the Lord, and I would really, really cherish that time if I could spend with him, and again, if not, no worries. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I look forward to meeting you in person. Again, thank you to David Sherman for introducing us. Thanks a bunch, Tim.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the invite, and God bless you, Terry, your family, and I look forward to meeting all of you guys.
You got it. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.